Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun. Follow the Utah Grizzlies on Facebook for the latest on weekend home games, or visit utahgrizzlies.com for more. Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun.
The Sundance Film Festival runs January 22nd to February 1st. Visit sundance.org/locals to register or purchase tickets.
I'm Christian Schultz, junior editor of Slug Magazine, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, lifestyle, arts, and events. On this episode, we'll be talking about the music of Zola Jesus. Zola Jesus, the electronic darkwave project of singer-songwriter Nika Rosa Danilova, has been around since 2009, when Danilova recorded her first album, The Spoils, in her apartment while she attended the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She followed that up with a couple of EPs in 2010, and her second full-length, Stridulum, in 2011, which earned her airplay in France and recognition in the United States. After that, she released Conatus in 2011, her first full-length album on Sacred Bones Records, and followed that up with a remix album called Versions in 2013, also on Sacred Bones, and Taiga back in October of 2014. This month, Slug's writer Allison Shepard had the opportunity to speak with Zola Jesus for an interview in our January 2015 issue. We're going to hear that conversation today, but first, let's listen to a track from her 2014 album, Taiga. This track is called Hollow. That was Hollow from Zola Jesus' 2014 album Taiga. Let's hear Slug writer Allison Shepherd's conversation with Zola Jesus.
How would you describe your musical process, mostly getting from where you started, the sound that you had there, to where you are today and this most recent album?
I think it's mostly been a process of refining. Of first, you just do the thing that comes, that's the only thing you can do, really, because it's the only music you've ever made, and then you continue to chisel away at it and refine it and to figure out the path that the music needs to take, you know? And I think that over the past 5 or 6 years, I've just been constantly fine-tuning the whole thing, you know? Fine-tuning the music.
So would you say that's part of the reason why you've kind of transitioned from genre to genre?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also just because I get bored so easily. But yeah, I mean, it's also a constant process of throwing yourself into a world that feels unfamiliar and finding your way out of it, because that's when creativity happens. Creativity happens when you're uncomfortable, and it happens when you've got limitations, and that's when the greatest music happens. So you need to put yourself in these uncomfortable or new positions in order to yield best.
So how would you describe your songwriting process and composition process? Is there a specific routine that you go through?
Sometimes there's a routine just in terms of the workflow, because, you know, I produce, I write, I'm playing all the instruments, I'm recording it, it's all happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you kind of set up a template for, you know, this is how I can start a song. I can easily open up my computer and start a song. But I like to throw that off a little bit, because after a while that becomes kind of mundane and you stop being creative that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really enjoyed just randomly just walking around, going on a hike, and then just coming up with music that way. And it just feels much more organic and natural
mm-hmm.
when you catch yourself off guard.
In that case, are you just mostly inspired from things like the environment or just life in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think that inspiration comes in so many different ways. Sometimes it's you're going out for a walk and you think about something. Sometimes I'll see a building, I'll see a piece of art. I mean, I'll be thinking about, you know, you don't even really know how it comes or why it comes, but it just, there's like a store of it in your inside of you, and then you reach in that store of inspiration and you need to write.
On this new album, you were pretty much isolated from the regular world. And with that in mind, with such a theme and ideas of being alone and away from technology and civilization and that, how do you feel about your songs being remixed purely for the use of being in a club or loud room with a lot of people?
In the past, I was really closed-minded to that. I didn't like the idea of someone taking a song that I worked really hard on, that it's incredibly personal, and that I made a certain way for a certain reason, and then just throwing a dance beat under it and putting it in a club. I found that very offensive.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm thinking about it in terms of, like, it frees me up to be able to make the record that I want to make, and then the remixes be functional in different ways, and they can make my music be appropriate for different situations, because my music is not appropriate for many situations. I feel like it's mostly best to listen to it alone, or to, you know, it's not a public sort of, like,
mm-hmm.
festive type of music. So the opportunity to have that sort of situation be appropriate for my music is interesting. I couldn't do it myself, so I like to hear people that I admire do it.
Okay, so would you say that it makes it more accessible and you are totally okay with that?
I mean, I don't know if it makes it more accessible, but I guess it, in some ways it does, but I'm open to it right now. I mean, I'm just, again, like I said, I like throwing myself into uncomfortable situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever, sometimes when I have really strong principles about something, I'll get to a point where I need to question why I have those principles, and so I'll test myself. And that's what the remix situation is like. I'm testing the principles that I used to have, and so far it's actually been really interesting.
Well, really what I'm curious about is the whole experience of just taking a break from civilization and just going off and, you know, doing your own thing. I think I read that there was no internet. Is that right?
100%. Well, yeah, there was no internet. I mean, I found ways to get it, but it was a challenge. Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting. In fact, it really just reminded me of how I grew up, because I grew up in the middle of nowhere
mm-hmm.
in rural Wisconsin. And so much of going to that island was returning to my roots in a way. It was removing myself from society, and because I was living in Los Angeles before, which is just the epicenter of society, of culture. And that becomes very overwhelming for an artist, because you get so weighed down by the culture that already exists. It's so hard to figure out where you belong in that story. And so, but to remove myself, it was really healthy. And to be in that environment where, you know, you're not thinking about Hollywood, you're not thinking about, you know, what's going on in the music world. You're just among the trees and by the water, and it felt very innate. It felt very, very natural. Like, I didn't feel like I needed, I don't know, it felt easy. Like, life is so much easier when you take all of that, the baggage of society away.
Did you find that it was easier to kind of, not relax, but kind of, like, get to the core of, like, whatever feelings you had or any kind of emotions? It was easier to just access them because of there's not so much going on.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, everything just becomes very easy, you know? Like, if you have a feeling, you feel it, you don't question it, because there's no need to question it. It's just you, you know? It's just you in the world. Yeah, it just felt very, very liberating. I just felt like, very free to experience the things that came to me and to not question them and just follow the thread.
Do you think that you will do this again the next time you go to write an album, or will you just go and take it from a different place?
I'll definitely continue that process of removing myself, because I think in the past, writing when you're in the middle of everything just becomes clouded. Your creativity becomes clouded by everything else going on in the world. And it's important for an artist to comment on culture, because that's the whole point of art. But at the same time, you need to give them something new. And in order to do that, you need to take everything that you've sponged up and then remove yourself and try to make sense of it all.
Talking about Tyga, where did that come from? Where did the idea for that come from?
I don't really know. I think it just kind of popped up. It was, I was thinking about nature a lot, and I was thinking about the themes of the record are very much man versus nature, and I thought about the taiga because it reminded me of my roots. My roots coming, my family comes from Russia, and but the taiga, there's also taiga forests in northern Wisconsin, so it just felt like there was this lineage there, and something about the taiga, it felt like it represented the freedom that I was feeling. The massive miles and miles and miles of nothingness, you know, it's still untouched by man. And it felt very, I don't know, it felt like kind of a familiar in a way.
And you would say that, I mean, all of that translates into the album as well, as the feelings about taiga pretty much carry on through every song.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, there's some songs that don't, but, I mean, that's the overarching concept that I feel like pushed the album.
What is your favorite track on the album?
I think right now it's Nail, because it's Nail is mostly, well, the first part is kind of a cappella. Just something about the song feels, I don't know, I can't explain it. I agree with it. I mean, I wrote the song, but it feels very personal.
Critics have described Tyga as a pop album. Do you agree with this? Not agree? Kind of?
I think all my music is pop. It's just pop in different ways, you know? But the way that I write music has always been the same. You know, when I sit down at a piano, when I play chords, they're always going to have that pop resolve. I don't think it's any more pop than my other records. I think it's cleaner than my other records, but I don't think it's any less pop.
Okay.
Or more pop.
I have to know the answer to this. How did you come up with the name Zola Jesus?
I was in high school, and just one of those things where I just came up with this name, and I didn't really... You know, kind of when you're just like, you're just riffing, you're just coming up with things, and you don't really know where they came from, but... I came up with the name Zola Jesus, and it's just Emile Zola is an author, a French author, and Jesus, because of Jesus Christ. And I liked the idea of repurposing Jesus, because he has, especially in northern Wisconsin, he's got a lot of power. And I liked taking the power away from him and trying to recontextualize it in a way and making it kind of making the name no longer sacred.
No way. I have to ask about Salt Lake. I know that you were here a couple years ago. We always like to hear what you think about our city.
It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Oh my gosh, the mountains. And then aren't the salt flats over there? Are they
just like giant salt plains?
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with the salt flats. I almost filmed a news video on them. Yeah, actually, I really hope to visit those when I come to Salt Lake City because it's so surreal. I love going to them. But yeah, I haven't spent that much time in Salt Lake City, but the city itself is really, really beautiful. It's really special.
Don't miss your chance to discover independent films and artists at the Sundance Film Festival. Returning to Utah this January 22nd to February 1st. Locals can purchase the new Grand Theater Pass today, as well as register for individual Sundance tickets. Visit sundance.org/locals to register or purchase tickets.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Cherry. And if you like your geek news with a bit of a twist, then you'll love
Hello, Sweetie!
Hello, Sweetie podcast brings you the latest and greatest geek news and information from an all-female panel. We'll bring you the most recent information about movies, TV, comic books,
video games, roller derby, pop culture, and more. Subscribe on iTunes and like us on Facebook.
For your weekly dose of geek culture from a female perspective, tune in to
Hello, Sweetie!
Let's hear another track from Zola Jesus' 2014 album, Taiga. This one is called Taiga.
Thank you.
You just heard Tyga from Zola Jesus' album of the same name. You can catch Zola Jesus in Salt Lake City, January 12th at the Urban Lounge with Dara Dorian. For more information on the tour and the show, visit her website, zolajesus.com. Check out Allison's interview with Zola Jesus in this month's issue of Slug Magazine, found anyplace cool and on slugmag.com. Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter @slugsoundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine, produced by Gavin Sheehan. Associate producers, Alexander Ortega, Christian Schultz, Henry Glasheen, and John Ford. Executive producer, Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Temples. Main logo and art design by Nicholas Dowd. Technical design by Kate Colgan. Next week, Provo band Temples will join us in the studio to talk about their music.